Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show. This is the 19th
potassium.
Episode.
Potassium.
Thank you. Bananas. Potassium. Bananas. We're talking about certain news things that have cropped up today and recently. And the next topic we talked about briefly and I want to bring up again is that Orion has returned, which is a much needed win for the Artemis program. I think I've mentioned this to you both, but I have posters in my kids' rooms from like I don't know, like the 2001 rendition of what SLS was proposed to look like. It's not the same paint and stuff. Yeah, it's they're very old posters. But going back to that 2001, I believe is when SLS was first pushed through Congress as a thing to get built and to follow certain rules all the way from that time. And the cruel irony of that was that they had to adhere to these rules as technology started to change throughout the development of the spacecraft. And so, you know, like they had to use shuttle rockets, which aren't, you know, like SpaceX doesn't use the same type of rockets now. They use a different type of fuel. And I'm not a very big rocket nerd, so I can't tell you exactly, but I just know that like SpaceX, it's like they're less efficient in fuel, but they're less prone to leaking. That's all I know. Right?
Well, I think they use LOX. LOX. Mm-hmm. LOX as in not smoked salmon. LOX as in liquid oxygen. That's like super cold. And I don't think that's what the shuttle rockets originally used.
No, they were hydrogen, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I think so.
And so they're super prone to leakiness.
Which we experienced in one of the launch delays, right?
Yeah.
Right. Orion had a couple launch delays because of leaky fuel. So did Apollo 11, by the way. But they just sent someone in with a wrench and then off they went.
Well, the Apollo like was like...
Fancy fixes.
Apollo was like a totally different era of get or done too than today, right? You know, it's a really interesting parallel also to like the nuclear fusion thing. It's you know, that was a time that was driven by the Cold War, and it was like, we don't care what we need to do, we're getting it done. And it's that necessity that is the mother of invention quote. It's so true though. On our break, you were saying that in coding, there's a saying that like, can you code this? And you're like, well, I don't know how to, but there's definitely a code how to do it. SLS, it finally did what it needed to.
Mm-hmm.
We made it happen despite all the bureaucracy and, you know, the future of it though. What do you guys think? What do you think the future for SLS and our return to the moon is going to be though? Do you think that that is a sustainable system with all the competition?
I think when they first planned it out, it was a fantastic idea. They were using a lot of technology and stuff that we've been using before, but since the time they have proved it, which you said back in early 2001, newcomers have come to being, SpaceX and Blue Origin and the rest. They are working and iterating so much faster and more efficiently that I think we're going to have what was once a fantastic idea. It's quickly, I think, going to be the slowest horse in the race. This is going to be sad, but they still did some incredible stuff.
And
there was delays in launching, and they finally got it up there. And we have all kinds of science to come back to study, like those dummies that were on board, see how they interacted, how they responded to the stresses, not just of launching, but the reentry. People didn't think was going to be too successful. They had, instead of just hitting that one sweet spot when they came back into our atmosphere, they intentionally did what anybody who's followed space travel have heard you're supposed to avoid. You don't want to miss that target when you come back. You don't want to bounce off the atmosphere and get lost into space. They intentionally bounced off the atmosphere and then re-entered. And it was the fastest and the hottest re-entry ever. So yeah. Shaun the Sheep went through some hell.
Well, and I heard when they look at the craft now, they're going to look at like basically the charring, like the depth mm-hmm. of the charring of this, of the vehicle, in addition to what the sensors read and stuff like that. Slowest horse in the race, though, I think is a great analogy and an unfortunate byproduct of the archaic system that NASA has operated off of for far too long, which is the lowest bidder and the person who could get it done the most efficiently. And I say unfortunately, but I guess, again, it's pushing innovation and invention. So so do you think, I'm just asking, do you think that it's actually going to be the vehicle, the launch system that's going to put people on the moon? Because that's not till like, what, 2027 they're estimating right now?
It's tough to say because SpaceX is only slightly behind. They have designs for Starship, right? Mm-hmm. Which is going to be able to do this job. But they haven't launched anything yet. Mm-hmm. Artemis has gone to the moon and back. So they are currently ahead in the race. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if NASA does bring people back to the moon first, either in orbit or to land. I'm not sure, but they'll send someone there first. But I think around the same time, maybe shortly after, I think SpaceX will beat them as far as frequency of launches, efficiency of launches, how many people, how much payload they can take, and so on. I think SpaceX is going to win eventually, unless NASA changes something or just buy SpaceX.
I think just the flexibility of being a private entity and being able to adjust along the way without having these kind of lengthy bureaucratic processes that are, you know, yeah. dependent on congressional funding and you know, presidential policy and budgetary constraints and all of these things. It's like, it's a lot more wiggle room as a private company to kind of adjust in order to hit the target. I do think, though, yeah, I think you're right that NASA will get people with the Artemis program to the moon in the next 5 to 10 years. But long term, I think it will be companies like SpaceX that kind of yes. dominate the market in terms of like frequent travel back and forth.
Right. And I mean, we haven't even touched base on the fact that, you know, the amount of waste that program has too. Nothing came back other than the capsule. So now the entire thing has to be rebuilt, whereas mm-hmm. SpaceX revolutionized the industry with reusable rockets. And that again, was, you know, when SLS was designed and when that program was conceived, that wasn't a thing yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just, I remember watching the first Falcon Heavy booster landing, and it was like seeing touch screens for the iPhone for the first time. Like my mm-hmm. mind could, like my mind was blown. I was like, I can't believe this is what is happening right now, that this is
like sci-fi.
Yeah, it is. I, you know what, I can imagine that is how people in the physics world with nuclear fusion feel right, like right now, where it's like, this was not supposed to be real. This doesn't, you know, This, I mean, obviously it was happening in stars, but who would have thought we would have done it? And same thing with these rockets coming back down. Who would have thought that this was something we could do? And yeah, it's a really interesting dialogue to me. And I think that we'll look back at these times as a revolution in some sort of way, a space revolution, a shift, something shifted in the 2000s, you know, late teens, 10s, 2000s into the 20s. And, you know, it's hard to see these things when you're living through them until that, you know, we get to the 2050s or something and people look back and they'll be like, yeah, this was the changing point when rockets became reusable and that just changed everything. And poor SLS is sort of caught in the middle of this transition, in this page turn. And it was like, but I was in chapter 2 and now we're in chapter 5. And how did we get up, you know, to here? But, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, we're in too deep. So they're going to I agree. I think that they're going to probably at least send people orbiting because of what that's slated for 2025. Mm-hmm. I think. And then landing is 2027. You know, we're only just entering 2023. Things can change pretty quickly.
Even if they don't actually, become the dominant method of transportation to and from the moon, there's a ton of incredible technology and scientific insights that, we're going to gain ready from this first flight in terms of, understanding, for example, the impact of radiation, right? You were talking before about the sensors on the test dummies inside of the Orion capsule. So, like, they were also wearing radiation suits and had sensors mm-hmm. under that. Super important for us to know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's an additional science element that isn't so much being focused on by SpaceX, which is more just focusing on the engineering and practicality. Mm-hmm. But living and not dying from radiation poisoning in space is also kind of important.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Absolutely. It's like what I always tell people when they're like, oh, are humans going to go to Mars? And I'm like, no. First of all, we've gotten plenty of things on Mars. We've also crashed a bunch of things, but we've gotten, there are rovers there. There are landers. There are surveyors. We get to Mars. It's the biology. It's keeping people alive.
There is no poop on Mars. There is poop on the moon.
Yes. There it is. But it's our biology. It's us. We're the weakest link. Goodbye. Do you think people know that anymore? I don't think so.
I think the reference is a bit dated for some.
Well, before we hit a break really quick here too, speaking of SpaceX and who's getting it done sooner, faster, whatever, we had also one more news announcement, and I think that it's very timely and good, and a good way to tie into the SLS and what what is the future for SLS. We had the Dear Moon winners announced, which was a competition put out by SpaceX. Oh gosh, how many years ago? A long time ago. A
couple years ago.
Yeah.
I had the email.
Was it your rejection email?
Yeah.
Aww. I saw people applying for it. And at that time, let's go back in time. Inspiration 4 hadn't happened yet. Nope. It seemed like an extremely lofty. I believe when it first went out too, it was supposed to be for a Falcon. If I read that correctly, the original call for Dear Moon applicants was for a Falcon Heavy.
Yeah, I think so.
But now, it was
like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But now the winners have been informed that they're going to go up on a Starship, mm-hmm. which, let's go back a little bit in time here. And Starship has kind of re-landed once-ish. So it is kind of taking
it all come
internet
back down.
It's taking the internet by storm a little bit because as one person I know who I do respect very much, he kind of said, like, this is giving me Fire Festival vibes. and I was like, I guess not entirely wrong. So there are questions. So many questions. You are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on IROC Space Radio.